how they got there, and why they came are questions that can't be answered. According to most anthropology texts, there's no evidence that people could even speak 60,000 years ago, much less engage in the sorts of cooperative efforts necessary to build ocean-worthy craft and colonize island continents. There's just a whole lot we don't know about the movements of people before recorded history, Alan Thorne told me when I met him in Canberra. Do you know that when 19th-century anthropologists first got to Papua New Guinea, they found people in the highlands of the interior, in some of the most inaccessible terrain on Earth, growing sweet potatoes? Sweet potatoes are native to South America, so how did they get to Papua New Guinea? We don't know. Don't have the faintest idea. But what is certain is that people have been moving around with considerable assuredness for longer than traditionally thought, and almost certainly sharing genes as well as information. The problem, as ever, is the fossil record. Very few parts of the world are even vaguely amenable to the long-term preservation of human remains, says Thorne, a sharp-eyed man with a white goatee and an intent but friendly manner. If it weren't for a few productive areas like Haydar and Olduvai in East Africa, we'd know frighteningly little. And when you look elsewhere, often we do know frighteningly little. The whole of India has yielded just one ancient human fossil from about 300,000 years ago. Between Iraq and Vietnam, that's a distance of some 5,000 kilometers, there have been just two, the one in India and a Neanderthal in Uzbekistan. He grinned. That's not a whole hell of a lot to work with. You're left with a position that you've got a few productive areas for human fossils, like the Great Rift Valley in Africa, and Mungo here in Australia, and very little in between. It's not surprising that paleontologists have trouble connecting the dots.